Welcome back. Live here in the studio at 89.3 FM KUOI Radio. Zach Kellogg here, and I'll be joined today by Chris Dermott for the long-awaited start of the 2020 year for the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. We are back from holiday break, and today we'll be talking about a doubleheader matchup between men's and women's basketball against Eastern Washington in the Cowan Spectrum. We'll also give our predictions in this bite-sized episode with the NFC and AFC championships for the playoffs in the NFL, and also discuss the Mike Leach Award and a possible change. So stick around. Thank you for liking, sharing, and subscribing. And remember, go Vandals. And we are finally back after a long-awaited break from our 5 to 10 fans.
Yes.
The Vandal Scoreboard is back in action here from KUI Studio here on UI's campus. Zach Kellogg, joined by Chris Dermott.
Yes, we're back.
We are back. All right, we got a short bite-sized episode edition. You know,
we do.
We're on a time crunch. We got the doubleheader action tonight, so I want to get this up
mm-hmm.
before we head out for that. Well, let's first talk about the Idaho women. They're playing at home. They're kicking things off with a 5:30 tip-off against Eastern Washington. Chris, have you really been following this women's team so far this season? I know you took a step back.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, you know, the thing is with the women's team, it's the same as every other year. They're playing great, defying expectations. Beyonce Bay is killing it. That double overtime thriller against Montana State.
Oh, that was
huge. That was huge.
That was insane that they got that win. Montana State, offensively and defensively, statistically, we're the best team in the conference.
Exactly, yeah.
And we beat them in a slugfest after we got hammered by Portland State.
Yep. Yeah, having, you know, a pretty good conference play to start things off this season. Portland State was definitely a big dud. But then having to go to Montana State, the best team in the Big Sky right now, it still is,
mm-hmm.
Leading the conference.
Well, best team, and I would say probably – us and Montana State are probably.
Yeah.
They're tied right now. If we did a power ranking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, right now it's Montana State, Idaho, the two top teams in the Big Sky.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact to be able to go there to Bozeman and get that win in that dramatic fashion is huge.
Yeah.
And now, you know, leading into things tonight, it's be really interesting going up against Eastern.
They've been struggling as of late. They have not won a road game this year. They are 0-7 on the road.
Yeah.
Idaho 4-0 in Cowan.
They have, but I mean, you know, when we spoke to Coach Newley yesterday, he was saying, you know, you got to throw that stuff out the window when it's a rivalry game. And sure enough, like, I think it's going to be true for both women and men's tonight. Like, Eastern, Idaho, one of the, you know, biggest rivalries, I think, in the Big Sky now.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, for the women, like, I was just about to say that, and I wanted you to lead into that.
Yep.
Newley said, records don't matter.
Yep.
Coming into this game, even last year, statistically, it looks like Idaho's supposed to blow Eastern out of the water, and the Vandals went off a buzzer-beater three-pointer in Cheney from Akeem
mm-hmm.
Friends. So coming into this game, I think it's going to be another gut-check game for this Vandals team. I mean,
definitely.
That win against Montana State, with that, I mean, that's like, okay, where is this team at? Can they win the close games after a dud, like you said, against Portland State?
Yep.
If they can blow out this Eastern Washington or even get a close win in a game with this kind of energy around it, talking to Gina Marks as well, she's like, these games, you know, it's another game, but sometimes there's some different energy around it. We just have to execute our game plan.
Definitely.
And I think they got a great chance to do it, especially, I'm going to say it again, Eastern is having a tough time this season offensively, scoring about 50 points a game. And Idaho statistically now has the best defense in the Big Sky in points allowed.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the rise of Beyonce Bay and the like.
Beyonce Bay
is just going crazy this season, especially now with the start of Big Sky play. She just keeps going and going. I mean, Montana State having a tremendous game, and I expect nothing less for tonight either. So, and Gina Markson stepping up as well as having that leadership position,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at that point guard spot. Really, the offense flows through Gina and Beyonce. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling up the stats right here. In conference play, Gina's averaging almost 18 points a game while shooting 47% from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce B averaging over 15 points a game to go along with, 8 rebounds, adding on 2 assists as well. Gina adds on 2.5 assists.
Yeah.
It's like those two are really carrying the team. Maybe not carrying, but they're putting a lot on their shoulders offensively.
Definitely.
I mean, Lizzie Klinker 7.5, Allison Kirby 5.5. Like, that's when we start getting, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. But overall, this team, I can't really find any complaints. The defense has been solid.
No.
Just maybe more offensive output from, like, Izzy Haddon or Lizzie or Allison Kirby.
Yeah.
And those kind of players. But
some of maybe the more veteran players, you know, just trying to step up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's really not saying much. I mean, everyone's doing their roles and doing their jobs really well. And, you know, like Nuli said, this defense is one of the best defenses he's had in many years. So,
yeah.
You know, if the offense, especially for what I'm used to, if the Vandal offense is somewhat the issue, I feel like that's pretty good.
We're being real nitpicky right now.
It's real nitpicky, you know.
3-1 in conference.
Exactly,
play.
Yeah.
And I mean, overall record 8-5. If you want to go look at a preview and a look at this team, go to thevandalnation.com. And we just got those social today as well.
Nice.
Sat down with Nuli and Gina Markson. And then also, if you're watching the game or attending the game, more watching the game, we're having a halftime interview with Coach Nuli and also Coach Claus later at halftime on camera. So check out for that on Pluto TV. I believe it's channel 542.
Who's doing those?
I believe it is you. I believe you are doing those since I
I might
stick around to do the Nuli one.
Interesting.
Yes, Chris, now you know.
As
part of the Inside the Vandals crew, you will probably be interviewing the coaches tonight at halftime.
Yeah, I was not.
Or it might be Coach Sanford. So
was not. Yeah. Cool. Wow.
Go. Hey, it might be not.
Oh, boy.
We're going to try and do it tonight. If not, then it'll be against Montana on Saturday. We'll be interviewing Sanford or Nuli.
I'm gonna push for Saturday. I'm way unprepared for that tonight. But
hey, if Vandal fans,
If you're watching the game, we're doing that.
Look out for that. But overall, I guess, I mean, we're not going to do picks this week because, you know, NFL season is wrapping up. Pretty much collectively, actually, just kind of a sidebar right here, going on a tangent. For our picks, should we go into do you want to go into postseason for the AFC-NFC Championship and the Super Bowl?
Yeah, for fun. I mean, it's not going to do much, but yeah, why not? You
know? Like, because that's what? Yeah, it's only 3 points.
Yeah,
and then
we can pick the Super Bowl and pick the champion, really. All
right, yeah, so we'll wait and those are this weekend, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, yeah, so we'll talk about
weekend,
that later.
Yeah.
But for, I guess, this Eastern Washington game for the women, I'm projecting a win for the Vandals in Cowan kicking off the doubleheader. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, me too.
And so.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be a 10-point game, though. A 10-point win for the Vandals.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge, like, it could be a huge blowout, but I think it's going to matter. Really, it's coming out of that first quarter, you know, if Eastern comes out swinging, you know, because obviously they're the underdog. They know it. We all know it, too. So, if they come out swinging and try to get this steal of, you know, giving Idaho their first loss at home this season, that'd be huge. But really, I think if, you know, this young Vandals team just stays cool, calm, and collected, I think they'll be just fine going against these Eagles.
Yeah, and when I was looking at the this team going into this, I mean, they're very young. You know, one senior on this team, I believe 4 upperclassmen in total. They're relying on a lot of youth, mostly sophomores and freshmen are in the starting lineup. And leading this team offensively is Grace Kircher, I believe is her name, averaging about 15 points a game overall in the conference. So, I mean, she can get going if you give her if you allow her to, but this team is still just having trouble finding who they are offensively outside of Kircher. So, once again, I think the Vandals are going to win. But now we'll pivot now into the 7:30 game. Idaho men also playing in Cowan against the Eagles. This is a different game compared to what we should expect for the women.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Eastern, they were high scoring team as well. You know, kind of inconsistent, but the same, I think, you know, with the Vandals too, a little bit inconsistency with making have close games, but can they actually get over that hump? Fortunately, the men play way better at home than they do on the road. Not picking up a single road win. Very reminiscent of Idaho football.
Yep.
You know, playing in Cowan, they always do play better here at home, which is great for the fans. And I think it'll make a good rivalry game tonight.
And, I mean, this needs to be made note of. Like you said, Eastern very good offensively. They're 3rd in the nation in scoring, right behind Gonzaga and Central Michigan.
Man.
One spot ahead of Duke. So they can score the basketball. They run a very tight rotation, but One other main thing is that this team is the worst in the Big Sky in points allowed.
Yep.
They are the worst defensive team because they focus so much on scoring the ball. And that proved in their loss to Montana. Eastern Washington lost by 27 points.
Yep.
It's like that was a bad loss in Cheney. And, you know, they either, you know, win pretty close and they drop a lot of points, or they don't even score 70 and then they lose by somewhat large margin. So yeah.
I think we can expect a very high scoring game with this men's, and a really fun game, hopefully.
I think it's gonna be a lot of points,
you know. It's gonna be electric in there. So really I think this game could be a toss up for Idaho or Eastern for the men's game.
I think so too.
So way more of a toss up than I think compared to the women's game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be a fun one, and ultimately I think I'll take the Vandals. I think both men and women tonight are going to pick up, you know, some home wins, and it's just going to be a fun time for Vandal fans tonight.
I want to pick the Vandal, but like you said, it's literally toss-up, so I think I'm just going to go Eastern Washington on this one. The Vandals have really been preaching defense this season. Mm-hmm. That's in Coach Claus, Markel Frazier. They've been saying defense is what we're doing, and with Scott Blakeney, he has seemed like a different guy these past couple months. In terms of, or at least when Big Sky has come in, he is just on top of things, boying in low. And Jack Wilson, maybe not the world breaker people expected coming in, but he's been good in terms of just offensive, defensive rebounds, mm-hmm. and Quentin Forrest getting more play down low, and Babacar Bob Thionbane, as Markel called him. I'm very excited for this men's team. And also, you want to look into this game before tip-off, thevandalnation.com. Armin Misenovich, new sports editor, wrote a kind of a winter retrospective on this team, and then I wrote a preview for tonight's game, so look for those. But overall, if you just look at 1-3, this team isn't doing so well. All those games have been by 3 points or fewer.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, and you want to, if you want to keep comparing like this team to last year's team, I mean,
it is night and day almost.
Night and day, because this team hasn't given up, and that's the big thing. It will be competitive. It's gonna be a fun time tonight.
I think it's gonna be really fun, and but yeah, like you said, compared to last year, I mean, that's what Markel said too. He's like, this team, he's like, once we get the chemistry down, I think we can really take off, because they're all just still just trying to get those tendencies together.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell they're always in games, and sometimes they just let it slip in the last few minutes like they did against in their last timeout. Who'd they play last time? Montana State.
Yep.
And they just kind of let that one slip because they were up seven in the last few minutes, and they just kind of couldn't close it, but they're in ball games. That's better than what fans could say last year, because outside of the Sacramento State and Eastern and that Northern Colorado game that went into overtime, we were getting blown out every game.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bad time last season. But
I mean, Coach Claus has rallied the troops. I mean, adding Coach Tripp to the coaching staff, mm-hmm. and, you know, just pretty much this entire program, they just seem to have more energy, and they kind
definitely.
Of and they've embodied the underdog role rather than just like, oh, we just aren't going to win.
Yep.
Screw it. So for this one, I think I'm going to take Eastern.
Eastern.
I think this one, like I already said that, it's going to be a toss-up, but I'm going to pick Eastern in this one, yeah.
All right.
Now for the very good moment that's been 15 weeks in the making, I believe. So, at the start of the year, for those of you, you know, that have been, you know, if you have been following us, congrats. You've been with us this whole time. But, you know, at the start of this year, we made a bet. Who could guess the most correct games in the NFL and NCAA? And I just so happen to have won that challenge. The final records, I got 37 and 18. Chris, 33 and 22. It was a good run, though.
It was.
You made a good comeback effort within three games there.
Yep.
Going into this last week, but...
Yeah, the NFL
Eagles
games
game,
that
the game killed you.
That really got, and the Bills, Pats as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. That was really rough. College football playoff almost got me. Give me some help.
You almost got the full 3 points.
Almost
right
got it. Almost got it all. But
yeah. So I picked LSU OSU with LSU winning, and he picked LSU Clemson with Clemson winning. So
yeah.
I bet after the end of the first quarter, you were like, "Oh, I got this in the bag." Trevor Lawrence.
I thought I had a good chance that, and then Clemson, Trevor Lawrence just really laid a dud. So,
Chris, That was only one part of the bet.
That's true.
Or that was one of three parts, because we also had the Colts and Seahawks bet that we made at the start
of
the year.
Yeah, I owe you two Subway sandwiches as well.
Yes, sir. And also for this season loser challenge, you have to wear my Russell Wilson jersey or my Dwayne Wade jersey or my Donovan Mitchell jersey. You know what? Russell Wilson. You're going to wear Russell Wilson. Two Buffalo Wild Wings for a playoff game this weekend. And you'll have to be loud and proud as a Seahawks fan.
Well, it's kind of hard to be loud and proud as a Seahawks fan because they're not in the playoffs.
I was really hoping they'd make it to the NFC Championship games. I was like, oh, it just – at least you could blend in a little bit more.
Yeah.
But now you'll just be sticking out like a sore thumb as Niners and Packers fans will just be going crazy up here in the SCO.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, thanks, Chris. You don't need to give me the round of applause. That's really thoughtful of you.
Yeah, okay. You know, that's all right. At the end of the day, I'd hate more to be a Seahawks fan now just because, you know, losing a game in Lambeau in a game that they probably should have won,
yep. You
know.
It stings a little bit.
Yeah, it probably does. You know, having that comeback effort cut short because of Pete Carroll, being Pete Carroll once again. But,
yeah,
that's okay.
I will say this, you know, all jokes aside, the Seahawks defense really struggled down the stretch, you know. 27th overall, I think, you know, like 27th, 26th, 28th in the rankings. Even with Clowney, the secondary just wasn't living up to expectations, mostly Trey Flowers. Mm-hmm. Shaquille Griffin was pretty solid this season, along with getting Diggs in a trade. But Trey Flowers held them back, and he allowed Devontae Adams get that 160 and two touchdowns. So,
yeah.
But overall, Seahawks, good season, better than what I expected. I projected like 4 wins going into this year. So,
that's true.
But, you know, Colts, you guys, apparently there are – how do you feel about getting Tom Brady?
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's a possibility, though.
It's not a possibility. I don't think Chris Ballard is going to go after Tom Brady.
Are you guys going to stick with Jacoby, or are you going to maybe try and draft someone else?
We'll probably draft somebody and stick with Jacoby. I mean,
what about
the possibility
of Philip Rivers?
No, that is something I don't want. I hate how many connections there are with him to the Colts. I really don't want us to go after these old quarterbacks, especially Philip Rivers. Don't get me wrong, he's okay, but I just don't want Philip Rivers. It's plain and simple. If we got Tom Brady, I'm not gonna complain, but I mean he's like what 44, 40, almost 45, or
no, he's 43. He's 42 right now.
Okay, still, you know, this past year you kind of see he's starting to get old. All right, and it's not like a Peyton thing when Peyton went to Denver. Peyton at that time was like 37, 38.
Still an MVP candidate.
Yeah, and I just don't think moving to Indianapolis is something that Tom Brady really wants to do. So I don't know, though. I have no idea what's going to happen. It's going to be an interesting offseason. But if I know anything about the Colts, they don't take a lot of big-time moves, especially under Chris Ballard. They like to draft. So yeah. I still don't expect them to use almost any of their cap space. They have so much money.
What best case scenario for you going into this offseason in terms of the quarterbacks?
Okay, best case scenario is if, yeah, sure, we get Tom Brady, okay, and we have Jacoby, but we also draft a guy. Mm. And we have Tom Brady, who knows, maybe like 2 years, a season, I don't know.
Yeah.
And just like they learn under Tom more.
Yeah.
So, Jacoby, I don't think we'll have Jacoby that much more, especially if we do get, like, Tom Brady or something.
Joe Burrows.
I would love Trevor Lawrence next year. So.
Do you think that might be a more realistic possibility of tanking this season? Or
I don't think so.
And then
I don't think so because
Trevor?
The Colts are too good to tank. They're not terrible. So it's like, I'd be fine with tanking. I would be so fine with tanking and getting Trevor. But I just don't think, especially with this organization, Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, they're not going to tank. So
what if Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, what if you guys just, you know, started collecting some draft picks, you know, sending out some expendable contracts, continuing to build or expand that cap space?
Yeah.
You guys went to the next draft with, like, say you went in with 14 draft picks.
We have,
and then you made a big trade to get the number one or number two pick and get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. We already have a lot of draft picks as it is, and our cap space is ridiculous. We've like, I think we lead the league in cap space. So.
And then you guys somehow sign Odell Beckham Jr. too.
Well, that'd be great.
And Saquon Barkley.
If anything, you know, we might get AJ, hopefully AJ Green or something
that'd
in the offseason.
That'd be nice. That'd be good.
To have some compliment, but I'm hearing rumors that AJ Green is really connected to the Ravens, which I'm like,
that makes sense.
Oh boy,
but
here
yeah,
we go. So,
Lamar, Jesus.
But yeah, it's gonna be interesting off season. So
yeah, all right. So now we got about 10 minutes left here. We're gonna talk about NFC AFC championship games and our Super Bowl predictions because
yep.
You know why not? Bite sized edition. We'll speed it up. All right, the NFC Green Bay going to San Francisco to face off against the Niners. I got San Francisco in this one.
Yep.
Last time they faced off, the Niners gave the Packers a beatdown, and
yep.
I don't expect that to change. Maybe by 2 touchdowns, but I'm still projecting a 2-touchdown win for the Niners.
Yeah, I think this Niners team is going to just totally contain this kind of boring Packers offense in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more and more I watch the Packers, the more I see Aaron Rodgers has kind of lost his luster, lost his real magic. Don't get me wrong, it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's still the dude, but there's other dudes now. And on the other side of that ball, you know, you're going up against Nick Bosa and Richard Sherman, who is still possibly the best corner in the league.
Arguably, yeah.
So just that whole defensive front from San Francisco in general, like that whole defense is astounding this year. And especially now in the playoffs, you know, holding the Vikings to what they did is
that was
crazy.
Good.
So I'm definitely going to take the Niners in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be competitive, maybe. I don't know. For
I
like,
think 3.5 quarters.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I expect, like, at least, like, I don't know, like 34-17, maybe
so
something like that.
Yeah, I was
going
to say same thing. Maybe, like, 38-20, something like that. But I'm projecting Niners will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And then the AFC, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Taking the Chiefs, yeah. Yeah, so
but that game I think is closer than the Packers and Niners game. I think Chiefs Titans is going to be a lot more, maybe not interesting, but a closer game in general.
Yeah, that second game, I mean, the Titans have been proving everybody wrong, you know. Really, the whole AFC South proved a lot of people wrong this, you know, in these playoffs, which is crazy to think as well. But I think it's going to come out of that first quarter. If the Titans can get, you know, their offensive defense rolling basically right off the gate, they have to, especially going against the Chiefs. You need to have Derrick Henry, you know, be the man. Ryan Tannehill has to have a good game. Everybody really has to step up to a whole new level to compete with these Chiefs because we know what they're capable of now, especially on the offensive side of things. Heck, even on the defensive side of things. Yeah, they allowed 24 points in one quarter, you know, but from then on out, you know, for three quarters, they went on a 51-7 tear. So that's insane. I don't expect something like that to happen again this time around.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, don't get me wrong, I can see the Titans winning this. I really can.
I can too.
Having that. But I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes. This guy's a stud. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. And I think a lot of people forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, few games of being injured. And everybody wanted to put it on Lamar, but at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is the dude. He's the guy. He proved it last week against the Texans, you know, scoring 28 points in a single quarter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Chiefs. I think it's going to be a Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl.
Yeah, and yeah, once again, I think Derrick Henry could easily rush for another 200 yards, put this team on his back. Ryan Tannehill might throw for like 110, 120 with a touchdown or two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Pat with. With just how explosive the Chiefs were and how down they were at the end of that first quarter and that first half to bounce back and win the way that they did.
Definitely.
It's like I have a hard time not picking the Chiefs, and I'm going to say it now, to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
I think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. I think with how dominant they were over a solid Texan squad and the defense, you know, let up all that scoring, the special teams, you know, really fumbled things up. And then they just came out and completely dominated from then on out.
Okay.
Defense, offense, everything. I'm taking Chiefs to win the AFC Championship and to win the Super Bowl over San Francisco.
See, I want to see the Chiefs win. I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be – if it's Chiefs – if you know, right now I'm going to root for the Chiefs. I want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I want to see Patrick Mahomes get his first ring in his third season.
I want to see Andy Reid.
So
get Super
I
Bowl.
Want to get Andy Reid as well. Andy Reid deserves a Super Bowl. I think they can do it. I really think they can, especially how things have played out so far. But a lot of this is making me reminiscent of, you know, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This high potent offense going against possibly this ferocious defense.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, what this Niners defense brings, I think, is different compared to, you know,
the Seahawks
yeah. in a lot of ways. But still, it's shown consistently now that when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's the defenses that, you know, defense wins championships. It's
even look at last year.
It's a saying that's old as time because it's true and it's always worked. So last year, the Patriots defense, you know, proved it, stopped the high potent Rams offense, you know. So I think the Niners might do it. The yeah. Niners have the better roster, overall roster as mm-hmm. well. They have the running game, something that the Chiefs don't right now. The yeah. Chiefs do not have a run game.
I was like, even
really,
Spencer Ware and LeSean McCoy.
If you, yeah, it's going to be hard to contain Patrick Mahomes in that pocket, but I think that defensive front can do it, and those corners can as well with stopping the receivers. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I hope it's a good game. I hope it's not some blowout or dud of a game we got like last year's Super Bowl. Last year's Super Bowl was not a blowout, but I think that was probably the worst Super Bowl ever. That was just so boring.
That was probably one of the worst ones because, you know, just punt,
yeah.
punt, field goal, miss, field goal, punt. It's just like no one wants to see that in the biggest game of the year. They want to see what happened in Super Bowl, what was that, 53, I believe, where the Eagles and Tom Brady throw
yeah.
for a combined like over 1,000 yards.
Exactly.
They want to see a lot of scoring. Maybe not that much scoring, but, you know, something along mm-hmm. those lines. How mad will the NFL be if we get a Titans-Packers Super Bowl?
Probably pretty mad. Yeah. That would be, I think it'd be an interesting game, but that is just such a weird Super Bowl matchup that nobody saw coming.
Ryan Tannehill, Aaron yeah. Jones, Derrick Henry.
Literally all it's going to be is Aaron Rodgers for a whole week.
Yeah, give me
Aaron Rodgers and Derrick Henry. That's all it's going to be about. Yeah. So, hope you know, cross my fingers if you know. It'd be also Packers Chiefs would be cool too.
I think that'd be good.
Having Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes, that would be cool as well.
I don't want Niners Titans because I feel like the I don't know if the Titans could.
Yeah, I don't really want the Titans in the Super Bowl because they're
a good Cinderella story.
Yeah.
But I want the better team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if Mike Vrabel really wants wants that team in the Super Bowl either. So
I mean,
with that crazy bet he made.
Yeah, it's not like this. It's not like the 2008 Giants who like just go on this magical run because they got a
yeah.
complete team. I don't think it's the same. It's not the same thing. All right, in our final 2 minutes, I want us to have a moment of recollection as our as our weekly segment at the end of every show. Despite the man, the myth, the legend, no longer just being a stone throwaway mm-hmm. over at Washington State. Mike Leach is now the head coach of Mississippi State University.
Yes.
Down in the SEC. And I just want to take a brief 10 seconds of silence to honor the man who was Mike Leach and what he embodied in the weirdness of sports. Thank you. That was a lot longer than
wow.
I thought it was going to be.
Wow. You know, one thing I think of this is, you know, especially with our weekly segment, I think this is a good opportunity that, you know, we can finally switch the name of, you know, the weekly Mike Leach Awards.
Okay.
So I think it's something that's been needed for a while because it's kind of weird that it's a Vandal Scoreboard podcast.
But Mike Leach
Award. But we have the Mike Leach Award at each show.
Yeah.
So I think we should, you know, reconcile and think of some crazy, you know, some other, you know, kind of legend, kind of quirky kind of person.
We'll figure something out.
So
you guys should all give us suggestions.
Yeah.
Tag us on Twitter. Comment under this. You see it on Facebook,
yeah.
CastBox, Twitter, whatever it is.
It's also a good idea to see if we have, you know, people watching.
If you are listening
or listening.
You are at the last 30 seconds, thanks for being here. Check out my Twitter, at Kellogg_Zach. Chris will be at Chris_Dermer, Dermer. Last name, all capitalized.
Yep.
Check us out at thevandalnation.com. We got articles going up there every single week, every single day almost. Check out Inside the Vandals on Facebook and Twitter and
YouTube.
And YouTube. Thank you for joining us this week. And remember, go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.